This is Mike Shreve, an author with charisma and an evangelist, and I am so excited about this new offering from Charisma. To be able to download an audio version of the magazine and ebooks and podcasts is going to be such a blessing. I personally live a very busy life, and it's hard for me to sit down and read a magazine, but I've got hours on the road and traveling, and that will be definitely something I'm going to tap into. I encourage everyone to get this subscription, and I'm personally going to look forward to the content myself. To subscribe, just go to charismamediaaudio.com.
This is the Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm Jenny Rose.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host today, Jenny Rose Spaudo, and I have on the phone a very special guest. You may know of him. His name is Sid Roth. Sid, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
It is so great to have you. You're the host of It's Supernatural. I've seen many of your episodes, and I'm always blown away by the stories that you interview people about. It's incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what. The history of our ministry is more supernatural than anything you've ever seen on the air. But I will put a little commercial in for God right now. And this is the commercial that we are about ready to, if you ever get on a roller coaster, I haven't done it in years and I don't intend to, but if you ever do, I suggest you strap that belt in good, you know, or one of these amusement park rides, strap your belt in good for what's coming. I've labeled it, because not that I have the right to, but I'm calling it, because I found it in the Bible, the greater glory. And it is going to change the whole face. And I say, praise God, of Christianity when that hits. Now, I believe it's already hit. I believe we've always had it, but it's a matter of degree. It's called the glory of God. The Jewish people had this in the wilderness, and you could see it, and you could see the benefits of this glory. But the glory that's coming now, I like to share the story of a great evangelist by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, who is now in heaven. And Smith had a vision of this glory, and he had witnessed in his life every miracle in the Bible multiple times. So he was one of the greatest signs and wonders men since Jesus, literally. And he said this, the glory that is coming is like nothing we've ever seen before. It's going to be 100 times stronger than anything I, Smith Wigglesworth, has ever operated in. And I believe the glory and the coronavirus and even the cure are all connected. The glory of God is not quite what most people think.
Right.
It started out as when the glory comes, and it's at low levels now. When the glory comes, and once it gets over the head, that's what I'm talking about, like the water coming from the temple in Ezekiel. First was the ankles, and then the knees, and then the waist, and then you had to swim in it. Once it gets over your head, if you're in sin, it'll be the worst nightmare of your life. And if you're walking a holy walk with God, it'll be the best adventure of your life. And it's my personal belief that Christians better start cleaning their life up in the little foxes and the big foxes that are killing the mind. I've always been attracted to the supernatural, and I feel my best years are ahead of me. And by the way, September 7th, I turn 80 years of age.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I intend to go at least to 100. Maybe I'll go as far as Moses went. He went to 120, and he would have gone longer, you know, except he sinned, you know, if he hadn't sinned. But I intend to enter the Promised Land, whereas Moses didn't quite make it. So as I look back through my life, never, coming from an Orthodox Jewish background, would I have ever believed in Jesus. I mean, the greatest evangelist in the world could have come up to me, and I would have been blind, like the scriptures say. I literally would have been blind to the best apologetics. But I got involved in the New Age, and as a result, I got in over my head. This is as an unsaved Jew. And when I got in over my head, by the way, at that time, I was 29 years old, just about 30. When I got in over my head, I had left my wife and daughter, my job as an account executive with Merrill Lynch, and my whole life was falling apart. And now I was told by some Christian friends I bumped into, I was in trouble with God. And the only solution was Jesus. And as I said, if I hadn't been backed into a corner, never would I have looked at the only solution. But I was. And the worst night of my life, I didn't want to die, but life was too hard. So I didn't care whether I died or not. And I said a simple prayer, a broken man. And, you know, if you're going down for the third time in the ocean and you don't care who throws you a rope, you're going to grab it. So I prayed a two-word prayer, Jesus help. And the next morning I did wake up. I experienced the greatest peace a human can have. It was the kavod, or the glory of God, had entered my room. And then I heard the audible voice of God for the first time in my life. And this is what he said. He actually quoted the Jewish prophet Malachi. And he said, and I didn't know it, even though I came from a good Orthodox Jewish background. And he said, I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. Wow. And I returned, and I have been married ever since to the same woman, and we just celebrated our 56th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Get that right.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. So I've been following God to the best. And by the way, I don't understand a backslider. Do you know why?
Because
I know what's back there.
Yeah.
I experienced it. You have to be, we have a Hebrew word, meshuga, crazy, to be a backslider. Yet I know many people, they get discouraged, they misunderstand what's going on in their life, and they reject the Lord. But I know what's back there, and I wouldn't dare touch that. In fact, God says, if you want... without holiness, you won't see God. And if you think you're going to heaven and you're not going to see him, you're more meshuga than I was in the New Age. But that's
right.
What God says. Without holiness, you will not see him.
Yes.
So now's the time for the church to get their act together. So I received the Lord, and I had a job in investments, but I wasn't doing that well because I was so crazy at that time. I got totally set free of the demonic. I was, if you ever saw the movie or read the book or know the premise of The Exorcist, I experienced it. I know what it is to have a demon inside of you. And when that kavod came into my bedroom, I can tell you that everything demonic left. And I experienced the greatest peace a human can have. And whereas I went to bed not wanting to die, but life was too hard, when I woke up, I was the happiest I ever was in my life. And I followed what God said, and my family was restored. And then through a series of events, I got into the oil business, and I was extremely successful. This is after being a believer. I used to speak for the full gospel businessmen at the time. And I had a prophecy, I remember, way back then. That I would be I'm in the oil business now, but I would be in the oil business of the Holy Spirit someday. Mm-hmm. But I actually started in ministry from the beginning as a businessman, and I did speaking for full gospel businessmen. And in fact, I did speaking before I even read the New Testament, which was kind of, I'm one of the few survivors of, you see, back then it was very unusual for a Jewish person to believe in Jesus.
Right.
And so they made a big deal out of me. And you know, if you have no foundation in the Word and they make a big deal out of you, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Although I had a big issue with pride, I never fell. I never got into sin. And the reason is I know what's back there. I never even looked or hinted at backsliding. In fact, I have some advice for everyone listening right now. It's probably the best advice you're going to ever get outside of making Jesus Lord. And that is live in rapid repentance.
Amen.
Forgive instantly. Repent instantly, because the little things will never become big things if you do that. But if you don't do that, I'll put it in writing, the little foxes will destroy the vine.
Yes.
And so anyway, I got into the oil business, and we did so well. I had a partner. And then when I was called into helping a wonderful Jewish man that was in Jewish ministry, I was president of a group called the Hebrew Christian Alliance. It was Jewish believers that had fellowship together back then. There weren't many of us. One of the members, Paul Lieberman, said, let's start a Messianic synagogue. And I said, wait a second. I just got free from all the legalism. You want me to go back to it? Well, he had seen one in Chicago at the time. And I had never seen this, but I thought, well, that's a good way to reach Jewish people with the gospel. So let's do it. Maybe I can reach my own Jewish family, like my father, who was born in Poland and hated the name of Jesus and hated even more what happened to me, because as I started speaking, I got notoriety. As I got notoriety, a reporter from a major newspaper in Washington, D.C. interviewed me. Mind you, I still didn't know what I was talking about beyond I really knew Jesus was Lord. That's all I knew. And that's what I was saying. But I didn't know the Bible. So he interviewed me, and my article appeared on the front page of the newspaper. It sold more newspapers than any paper in their history. And a woman by the name of Catherine Coleman, her staff read the article in California and bought me a couple of tickets as my wife thought, to go see Disney World, but to be a guest on her show. That really launched my speaking ability, and I had the high privilege of getting to know her, even to the point that I made one of the most serious mistakes of my life. She wanted to mentor me. I looked at her and I said, well, you have great miracles, but that's normal according to the Bible. I found out later there were few, even today, that operate the way she operated back then. She wanted to mentor me, but I turned her down because she was kind of goofy in her appearance, in my estimation, like I knew nothing. And not her appearance, the way she talked, et cetera. I didn't know she had a speech impediment, and that's the way why she spoke so dramatic. But needless to say, it was a big mistake, but it launched me in the ministry. And then my oil business was getting really good, and I didn't have to work at it much. And so this Messianic Jew by the name of Manny Brotman came and took over our synagogue, because as I told you, I knew nothing. And we did start a Messianic synagogue, of which I was the president, because you have presidents in Jewish synagogues. You know, I didn't know things about elders and stuff like that. And so and that synagogue was hugely successful. And I learned Jewish ministry from Manny. And then one day he said he was starting a radio show, and would I be the announcer? And I said, no, I'll take care of the business side of the ministry. I want nothing to do with speaking behind the microphone. And he said, yes, but you've studied what I do. You know it better than anyone else. I want you to do it. He insisted. So I somehow got through the announcing. I never wanted to be behind the microphone. And so you can't say that I always wanted to. I was pushed into everything I've done. And so, and then Manny was busy every time we had to do a show. So guess who the host of the show became?
Oh,
me.
My goodness.
And I found out I was good at it. And then our oil business was doing, I had actually volunteered my services for Manny because I was being paid for my own business. And then, through a series of steps, I was shown to start my own ministry. I started a radio ministry. If I hadn't been in the oil business, I wouldn't have had the money to start the radio ministry. If I hadn't been mentored by Manny Brotman, I wouldn't have understood Jewish ministry. So I started a radio ministry, and it really got big. But if I hadn't been in the radio ministry, I couldn't take the next step that I was taking. And the next step that I was taking was television, and here's how I got into TV. I got a phone call from a friend in Canada, and she said, Sid, we've just deposited $25,000 in Crossroads Communication. That's, if you're familiar with 100 Huntley Street, that's in Canada, and it's sort of like the CBN of Canada or the TBN of Canada, and for your own show. And I said, before I could tell her I didn't have a show, guess what? I went up there and I did my first show, and I stumbled through that just like I stumbled through my first radio show. But then I found out God had gifted me. So now I was in the television ministry. That's how I got into it. I wasn't even looking for it. It came to me. Then, as a result of being in radio, I had the funds to continue the television. And then the television was hugely successful. So when a prophet called me one day and said, Sid, I see you with a for sale sign. You're pulling it out of the ground. And it says METV. I don't even know what METV is, but I see you've just purchased it. Goodbye. And then I said, well, I know what METV is, Middle East Television.
Wow.
I know the founder of that. He's a friend of mine. And well, the founder of it was a man who's now in heaven by the name of George Otis. Never in a million years did I think I would be involved with that network. George Otis then gave it to Pat Robertson. He thought Pat would do a better job than him. Pat then sold it to Lester Summerall. Lester Summerall died, and his son took over the network. His son loved the network, but then he suddenly died, and that was when I called Middle East TV to see if I could buy time, or I wasn't even thinking about buying the network, even though I was told that, because I didn't think I could afford to do it, even though I was doing well. So God showed me what to offer, because the grandson of Lester Summerall now ran it, and he didn't have the same burden as his father and grandfather. And it was for sale. And two major companies were bidding on it, and I found out off the record my bid was the lowest bid they got. But somehow they sold it to me. Now, let me explain what Middle East – and by the way, I wouldn't have even had the money for Middle East TV. We paid cash for it if I hadn't been in television. So each thing was a stepping stone of God, but I'm trying to explain in a few words, a supernatural stepping stone of God. And so Middle East TV is an old line on-air television network that covers every house in Israel at a perfect place on the dial that owns a TV, every house. And it's available on the absolute basic package. It's available on every cable, and we have every cable in Israel, and every satellite. We have every satellite in Israel.
Wow.
So we saturate Israel with this television network. And recently, the satellite we were on, we thought it was awful at the time, fell out of the air. It crashed on Earth. And so we had to get a new satellite. And the new satellite we have now covers not only every home in Israel, the entire Middle East, but parts of Asia and parts of Africa, and technically a half a billion people can see that network. And from there, we started an online network called ISN, It's Supernatural Network. That was before most Christian ministries had any thought about doing it. And our network now is available on every smartphone, every computer, all these smart TVs in the world. And last I checked, I don't have any idea what it is now because you can't even tell accurate numbers because there's so many new devices out. But we have half a billion people can pick up that network as well as Middle East TV. It's unbelievable. And I feel Moses started his ministry at 80, and that's when my ministry is going to start. I know it sounds crazy from world standards, but I'm not confined to world standards.
Amen.
And by the way, another tidbit, Moses was very healthy until the day he was promoted to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at 120, his eyes didn't even fade. His strength didn't even fade. I mean, it was amazing at 120. And there was a reason. He was under the glory of God.
Right.
And that's what's about ready to happen. And it's not going to be just Moses or Catherine Coleman or superstars. It's going to be the superstar in us, the hope of glory. And the least Christian will be doing what the least Christian did 2,000 years ago, fulfilling the gospel of Mark. Those who believe in the name of Jesus will lay hands on the sick. They will. Doesn't say they might recover. They will recover. I mean, that glory is going to be so phenomenal. So again, I'm going to end what I'm saying with the way I began. Now is the time to live in rapid repentance.
Amen. That is such a good word. And I know we're pretty much out of time for the interview, but can you just give our listeners a final tidbit about those who are so scared about this coronavirus? How does the coronavirus play out in light of the greater glory that's coming?
I see the coronavirus as a dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I don't say it as bad as what the fear level has placed it at. But I see that when, if something like the coronavirus, which is bad, I'm not discounting it, but it's going to taper off like every virus does. But I see the fear factor instigated by the devil using the media, and Christians' fear level is at the same point as non-Christians, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Yes, we should use wisdom. Yes, we should go to doctors. But it shows how the whole end-time scenario can play out real quickly. So again, I go back to not only walk holy, not only be in the glory, but I'll give you another trade secret. Pray in tongues like Paul prayed. prayed in tongues without ceasing. Yeah. And remember, if the shadow of the blood stopped the angel of death during Passover, how much more the real blood that was only a shadow of? I mean, come to your senses. Get a grip on things. It's just beginning. The best days are ahead of us.
Amen. What a good word. Thank you so, so much for sharing that. And thank you for coming on the show today. So tell our listeners where they can find you on It's Supernatural.
Well, they can go on our webpage, sidroth.org. They can look me up on Facebook. Just look for Sid Roth. They can get our online network, Sid Roth. You put in the app store, it's a free network, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Our average viewer watches us 4 days, I'm sorry, 4 hours a day.
Wow.
Because the glory comes on this network. But I have to disappoint the people. We do no telethons, no big fundraising. So I know you're so used to that. But if you can, you might want to try something that is pure ministry. And all you do is look up my go to the App Store, type in Sid Roth. You'll see a nice orange app that says ISN. It's Supernatural Network. By the way, we don't charge anyone for the network. We don't charge our broadcasters on the network. As a matter of fact, that network is one of the most supernatural things I know.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, again, thank you, sir, so much for coming on the show today. You have blessed our listeners so much by sharing your story and your encouragement. So, again, thank you, and I pray you have an amazing day.
Well, thank you. I'm going to do a Facebook post, and I can't wait to do it. Bye.
All right. Listeners, tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Story. This is Jenny Rose. Join me for another news story every weekday. God bless you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.